Are you ready for some word this morning? Before I get into the word, anybody got a comment or a thought? Something God gave them? Ho, ho, ho. Father, I thank you for your anointing, your unction to teach this word. I thank you that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. We might know the hope of our calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance for the saints. We receive it right now. Open windows of revelation. This is not just a Christmas message to entertain us. Father, I pray right now this message penetrates within us and elevates us to a new level of functioning in the supernatural, manifesting the blessings of your kingdom. Breathe on us right now by your Spirit. We receive it in Jesus' name, and we receive our next facility. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1. Now, we read starting out this morning out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where God says, I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Who was that virgin? All right, you're at 100%. What are the five steps of living by faith? So I'll throw that one in there. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. To a virgin, say to a virgin. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 1, make sure I tell you the right chapters. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, we see the genealogy of Jesus. But when you read the genealogies, they match up to a point. But when you get beyond Solomon, really beyond David, they split.
Yeah.
The question is, people have us, why are the genealogies different? There must be an error in the Bible. This is just an addition, an add-on to the message. And the truth is, one of the genealogies is of Joseph, and one is of Mary. One of the genealogies goes through Nathan, the prophetic, and one goes through all the way through Jeconiah, who was a wicked king. And the line of, to give you two prophecies, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would come through the line of David. Right? And everybody knew that in the Old, you know, the Old Testament figures knew that. And it would be the kingly line of David, but the problem is as you proceed in time, the kings of Israel, the kings of Judah got more and more wicked. And you get to the line of Jeconiah, he is so wicked that God says nobody from the line of Jeconiah will ever sit on my throne. Do you follow me? And it kind of cut off the consideration that the Messiah would come through the line of David. But if you look at the genealogies, the genealogy that goes through Jeconiah all the way to Jesus is actually the lineage of Joseph, the curse line. The line that goes through the prophetic is the lineage of Mary. And so you have two members of the lineage of David taking different branches, separating and coming back together as the parents of Jesus. Joseph of the cursed line of Jeconiah, Mary through the blessed line through the prophetic. And it's believed they may have been the only two people on earth qualified to bring forth the Messiah according to prophecy. But the thing is Mary was a virgin. Jesus was not born of the seed of Joseph. He was merely the parent that raised him.
Yes.
So the seed, the cursed seed of Jeconiah, was never passed to Jesus. It merely stood in the lineage of,
right,
as the parent.
Yes.
But the blessed line, the prophetic, came through Mary. And she received seed of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And right there is a miracle in itself, that God had two people, made the only two people qualified on earth to come together to bring forth Jesus. What a miracle God we serve.
Yeah.
Yes.
And guess what? Before the angel appeared to Mary, they were already engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think God doesn't know things in your life and doesn't have things set up ready for you? He's got stuff ready for you in advance. There's some new quantum physics studies that are suggesting what we expect today. I know this is going to sound far-fetched. Is this okay with you?
Yeah.
What we expect today, what we are speaking today, has the potential to go back in time and change circumstances in light of what you're speaking today.
Yes.
That's just secular quantum physics. Learning that. We know from a kingdom standpoint, it's true.
Yes.
God's lining up things to meet His word and to meet our confession.
Yes.
And so we believe we receive what the word of God declares. And God's aligning everything around us to meet those,
yes,
faith expectations. So go on over to verse number 30. Well, it says the angel Gabriel came to her, verse 26, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." So the angel prophesied, "Mary, you're going to receive, you're going to conceive a son." Now, I'm not going into this message today, but she says, "How can this be?" He says, "The Holy Spirit's going to come on you and overshadow you. And you shall receive the seed of the Holy Spirit," basically. And she says, "I don't understand this, but let it be unto me according to thy word." She got her faith connected to what the angel said, right?
Right.
But he said, "An angel is going to come on you, and you as a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child." So the first question I want to ask this morning, I have two questions to ask. Why did Jesus have to be born? Why did he have to come as a baby? For example, how did God make Adam? He formed him of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him, right? Adam did not come as a baby. Here's a deep revelation. It could be that Adam and Eve were the only two humans ever not to have a belly button. God formed Adam. Why didn't he just form Jesus? Why didn't he just make Jesus some dust, breathe life into him?
I was going to say, because I didn't think that he would be able to be here in the earthly realm like he was before sin entered. I thought that in this realm, it was through man, like we have to speak things in.
Yeah, I mean, the question, why couldn't he just make another man? But what you're saying...
Well, to me, I guess what I was saying is because that for him to be here and... Well, but to me, when he spoke the world into existence... This realm, he would have been, I don't know, physically here, I guess, is what I'm saying. He walked in the garden with them. He was here. And then once sin entered, I thought that that was where, like, the separation came, and you wouldn't be able to operate here in this realm.
That
but
through
a man.
It could be. But we know it had to be through a man.
Yes.
So why did he have to be a baby is the question. Why did he have to be born as a baby?
Well, if you want to think about it in today's terms, if God just took some dirt and made a man, people would think he was AI. If he was born, he'd know he was people.
Well, this was 2,000 years ago before AI.
Yeah.
They had a family.
But here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. If he made him as an adult, he would have been put on earth with no soul development as a man.
Yeah.
He would not have the experiential knowledge of growing up as a man.
Yeah.
Have experienced the challenges of being human. The disappointments, the joys. He would have been basically a blank slate put here for God, maybe with the wisdom and knowledge of God, but not with the experiences of a man. And God wanted to raise up a man fully, how can I say, compassionate to the challenges of humanity. If God had put in, if God made Jesus fully grown, put him in him all knowledge and everything, he really wouldn't have come as a man. He'd have come as God in a human shell. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But God made him 100% human.
Yeah.
But because he was not born, conceived of a man, the Word of God declares the seeds of the sins of the father are passed down to the sons, to the third and fourth generation. That God put in his Word the sin inclination, the sin nature of man is passed from the father to the sons.
Yes.
Not from the mother.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was Adam that rebelled against God, not Eve. Eve was just deceived. Adam rebelled. So God says that sin nature that's on humanity will be passed through the man's seed to the son, not from the mother. So when Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit, there was the line was broken of the passing down of the sin nature from the Father to the Son. And now the righteous nature of God, the Holy Spirit, was passed to the Son. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
He had to come as a baby to receive that righteous nature, yet still be 100% human.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
And so God brought forth a baby, 100% humanity, but yet without the sin nature. See, to truly be a man, he had to go through every step of human development that man goes through.
Yes.
He experienced life's trials. He had to grow and learn. Remember him sitting at 12 years old, he's sitting at the temple with the leaders learning. But he has knowledge way beyond they can comprehend even then. Why? Because there's no sin nature to block his ability to comprehend the truths of the Word of God. Listen to this. Jesus had to discover his divinity in the Word. Just like we have to find our access to divinity in the Word. Say it again. Jesus is reading the scriptures, I don't know what age, before 12. He's reading the scriptures without a sin nature muddling up stuff. The experience is a sin mentality muddling up stuff. He's reading in the Old Testament and he finds the discussions of a Messiah. Now, whether he knew he was born of a virgin yet or not, you know, his mother may have told him, but I don't know what age.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the whole town talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the illegitimate. He got accused of being the illegitimate son of that unfaithful woman. I'm sure Joseph came out as the hero or the sucker for tolerating her unfaithfulness, because that's what the community believed. It's what's written in historical text. She was a unfaithful. And so at some point he's reading in the scriptures and sees about the Messiah. And understand the Spirit of God is already on him, already in him, and revealing to him, this is you. This is you. In fact, when he is 12 years old at the temple, remember he stayed behind and parents took 3 days to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what are you doing? Why'd you do this to us? He says, publicly, do you not understand I must be at my Father's house? And what the amazing part of that statement was he said, my Father's house.
Yeah.
Instead of the Father's house. And that was an amazing statement to everybody because he already identified himself as the Son of God.
Yes.
The only begotten until the cross. What happened at the cross regarding the only begotten Son of God?
Firstborn.
He became the firstborn of many brethren.
Yeah.
Through the cross, we also are able to become sons of God. Male or female, you're still a son. And you want to be because the sons receive the inheritance, right?
Yeah.
But we get to be brides, guys. So it evens out. So he found himself in the scriptures. And I believe, see, God didn't catch him from heaven and say, oh, here's all this. He found himself in the Word just like we find ourselves in the Word. Amen. Can you imagine in a synagogue service, and they're talking about the Messiah, and he's going like, that's me, that's me. Had to keep his mouth shut for a while, right?
Yeah.
And so he had to come as a baby and grow up like we do and discover who he was, just like we do through the scriptures. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, for your love. Thank you, Father God. So, here's a couple questions just for the fun of it. Did he spit up as a baby?
Probably.
Did his parents ever have to put him in the shower and hose him down like I had mine a few times? Amen. I want to say, did it stink? But that doesn't sound right. How about this? Was he bullied? You know he was. He was bullied for one because they thought he was illegitimate.
Yeah.
And you know that word was out there. But Patty was reading an article. I've seen it. Has anybody seen an article about the world's smartest man? There's a new article out there about the world's smartest man ever.
Highest IQ.
Highest IQ. 276 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've seen something like that a few months ago, but I can't remember much about it.
I mean, think about it. Einstein was under 200. 276. I didn't know that high number existed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come out and said, mathematics proves the existence of a creator God. And he said, and his name is Jesus, and died for our sins. The world's smartest, all these people, well, look at the science. The world's smartest man has just come out and said, it proves there's a creator. Another, I think MIT head has come out and said the order of creation proves there's a designer. All these brilliant men are coming out saying there's no doubt there's a creator God. And now the world's smartest man has said his name is Jesus. I love it.
And he explained why he believed that.
And he gave some reasons.
Elon Musk said it. I read where he said it based on his stuff with space now that he realizes there had to be a grand creator.
Yeah. Who said that?
Elon Musk,
yeah. Even toward the end of his life, Stephen Hawking said the same thing. He's come to the place he believes in. He can accept the possibility of creation.
Wow.
I was taught in 1975 out of my thermodynamics textbook on the law of entropy, page 248, last page of the chapter. I wasn't a Christian. My professor said, the law of entropy, second law of thermodynamics, proves there had to be a beginning to everything. And we believe the Bible is the answer to that. He was a Christian. And so I still have the book at home. Science proves the reality of God. It's undeniable if you really we'll look with an open heart. Versus a presupposition, there can't be a God, and you try to come up with excuses. So, I believe Jesus he was saying this as well. He also said, not only is Jesus the Messiah, Not only is he God, when on earth he was the world's smartest man. Because he had no sin nature, there was nothing to block. Think about a man with 100% use of his brain. What blocks the use of our brain right now? So probably some kind of sin effect. He didn't have that. Can you imagine him in school taking tests? You talk about a curb breaker. I got persecuted some in school for breaking curbs. I know many of you did. Is that right, Terry? Karen, did you get persecuted for being a curb breaker? Absolutely, I did. You think people have made fun of you and persecuted you? Think about our Messiah. He's already been through it. He came as a baby to experience everything of humanity so he could have compassion upon us. That's what the scripture says. Having felt all the pangs of humanity, basically, he could have compassion upon our shortcomings. What would be the effect? Think about it. What would be the effect of growing up without a sin nature? What if somebody, I mean, Jesus was, what if somebody was born without a sin nature? What would be the effect?
Goodness coming to you.
You would never entertain a selfish thought in your life. Oh, the devil would send it to you. You go, what's that? Well, it's totally contrary to your nature. You would never have a self-serving mindset, a protective mindset. You'd be totally open to being a blessing to everybody you came in contact with. That's our Savior. That's why Jesus came as a baby, to experience all the best God had to offer and to go through all the worst the world had to offer, even to the place of his crucifixion, right? So question number two, why did he have to come to man at all, as a man at all? And Terry was touching on it. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Is this okay with you this morning? Genesis chapter 1 is the God said, God saw chapter. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light and said it was good. All through that chapter 1, God said and God saw. Power of words. In fact, I believe this world's smartest guy, part of it was, he was talking about the power of what we say. If I remember right. Could be wrong. Charles can correct it because they're probably buddies by now. But I want to go to verse number 26. And God said, this is day 6. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created him. I teach a lesson on 5 things that God gave man when he created him. 5 things that lets him reign on earth that God gave man. Right? First thing was image. I'm not going to teach on this morning. He gave his image. You're born again, you have the image of God. I guess I'm kind of teaching on that. Says then he blessed them. The blessings on our life. He says he made them male and female. Covenant. He gave his covenant. Partnership. If two or more shall agree. Then he said, I give you every herb-bearing seed. He gave us the power of seed. And then he said, I give you dominion. The authority. 5 things God gave us to be victorious. And all 5 things Adam basically lost at the fall, as far as effectively using them. And all 5 things Jesus gave us back at the cross. Now you have image. Now you have covenant. Now you have the blessing. Now you have the authority. Now you have seed. And Jesus taught on the parable of seed. Seed is the word of God. So he made man in his own image. And we understand a couple chapters later, they eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good. They eat the forbidden fruit. They disobeyed God. That was the sin. Is they disobeyed and ate what God told them not to eat. Mm-hmm. And sin nature was passed to God. Now, in the beginning, God made man in his image. He had the image of God on the inside. But through rebellion, he exchanged the image of God for the image of Satan. You know, we talk about how beautiful the baby is and how innocent the baby is, and, you know, how innocent newborn humanity is. And every child ever born on earth, everyone, was born, except Jesus, was born with the nature of the devil. That's quite a little baby's got the nature of the devil in him. How do you know? Because the first word they learn is mommy, daddy, and then no.
And mine.
Mine, yes, and mine, yes.
And then why?
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 Why? Why? Why? And only through the born again experience can we be redeemed from that satanic nature that was birthed into us. Right? And so, I think I need to go to Romans to look at this. Because man gave away his God-given rights and authority and ability over to the devil. Only a man could take them back. Let me think of this for an example. A couple years ago, I gave Barry a motorcycle. He didn't ride it enough. He just didn't ride it enough. I should have took it back. I signed the papers, the title over to him. It wasn't mine to take. I wasn't going to take it. I'm just teasing him. But I signed it over to him. It's not mine anymore. Amen. I can't just take it back. He would have to give it back to me for me to do anything with it. In the same way, God gave the earth to man.
Yeah.
He just can't take it back. Why didn't God just take the earth back from the devil? He can't. He already gave it to man. He says, I give man dominion over the earth. Yeah. People say all the time, well, if God's so good, why is the earth such a mess? Because man's a mess and man owns it.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
right. My goodness, I never dreamed the corruption in our government runs as deep as it does.
No.
The graft runs as deep as it does.
Yes.
The covering each other's backsides covers it goes as deep as it is. Mm-hmm. Trillions of dollars stolen by our leaders.
Yes. And women, and only the Trump.
That's right.
And if Trump hadn't won, we wouldn't know.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Well, they found Waltz stole $1 trillion or something like that and gave it to Somalia.
$18 billion.
Wow.
And Jim's mad that we found out about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And now they just found out. They just found out. 315,000 votes in the Georgia 2020 election were illegally counted.
Wow.
They knew it at the time, did it anyway, and it gave the election to Biden.
Biden.
That's just one state.
Yeah. What they meant for evil, God heard
that. Now here's the thing, it's being exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have each other's back so much, what's going to be done?
Exactly.
Yeah.
My hope is that charges start being filed against these leaders.
Yeah.
And we start training the swamp versus just exposing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
have to be punished.
Anyway, it's time to nuke for the nuclear option.
But they'll never have to pay for their crimes.
Yes, they will.
Oh, yes, they will.
Oh, well, not here.
You gotta pray.
I'm declaring that
they
pay for
here.
Yeah.
So I'm praying the swamp is drained. And you know what happens when a swamp is that drained?
Mm-hmm.
All the catfish die.
I had my hand on the back.
Do you know what the difference between a politician and a catfish is? One is a bottom dwelling scum sucking scavenger, the other is a fish. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
We need to move on.
It's Christmas.
So God gave the earth away. Only a man could take it back. Jesus had to come as a man to legally take back what man had given away.
Amen.
Mankind gave away the earth. Jesus was the only one who could take it back. Mankind gave away his God nature. Only a man could redeem, pay the price to redeem that God nature back from man.
Yeah.
So Jesus paid the price through his blood, through the cross, was made a sinner so we could be made righteous, to buy back our God image the devil had stolen. He had to come as a man. He had to reverse the transaction that Adam brought us into. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus came as a man to take back by truth what Satan stole through deception.
That's right.
In the garden, it started with deception.
Yeah.
Jesus came as light, grace, and truth. He came to redeem man by the purchasing power of his own blood. Look at Romans chapter 5. This is kind of hard to follow in the King James a bit, but we're going to give it a shot. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 5. Let's start reading verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that man?
Jesus.
Adam. And death by sin. Death entered because of Adam's transgression. And a man died so we could have eternal life. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Why? Because everybody's born with the nature of the devil within them. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? Again, here's the King James. What it's saying is, because of Adam's transgression, sin entered all men. And death entered all men, all the way from Adam to Moses. Now, they may not have known they were sinning. It says, where there's no law, there's no knowledge of sin.
Right?
But yet death still reigned. Murder still reigned. Rebellion still reigned. But through Moses came the law, and by the law came the knowledge of sin, which still didn't redeem man. But it says, let's read verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Who's the figure that came?
Jesus.
Jesus. Paul here is painting a parallel. Adam to Jesus. What Adam lost, Jesus regained.
Yeah.
And he goes on and he says, what Adam lost, Jesus regained even more.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. We are now of a higher species being than Adam was.
That's right.
With a better covenant, better promises, better future. It says, verse 15. Oh, here we go. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. Does anybody have a different translation they can read that from?
Several. I've got the Amplified or the New Living or however you want it.
Do the New Living.
You want verse 15?
Yes.
But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift, for the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ.
I love the King James, but I believe that's a better, more easily understanding wording of that. What Adam lost, Jesus brought us even more back. Mm-hmm. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of salvation shall reign in life. Verse 16. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift for the... Here we go again. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Read your verse for that one.
And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins.
For justification in King James means made righteous. And where Adam's sin brought us into, how can I say, condemnation, damnation, no hope, the gift of Christ on the cross brought us righteousness and eternal life. What a phenomenal God we have. So what Paul is saying here, what I'm trying to get across is, what Adam lost as a man, Jesus purchased back as a man. He had to come as a man to buy back what Adam lost. Thank you, Jesus, for that free gift. Matthew 20:28 says he was a ransom for many. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 26. It's right in the middle of the verse of the same. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Talking about Jesus, his sacrifice was sufficient. See, in the Old Testament they had to sacrifice bulls and goats every year to cover sin. But what the writer of Hebrews is saying is Jesus one time through the cross suffered once for eternal redemption for mankind. His blood is working today as powerfully as it did 2,000 years ago. His salvation experience today is as real as it was on Resurrection Day 2,000 years ago. Thank God for the plan to send our Savior as a man. Right?
All right.
Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He was the substitutionary sacrifice for us. I know sometimes we can look at our life and think, oh, I'm such a good person. Oh, I've not killed anybody. Well, maybe you have. Whatever, you know, well, you know, I've tried to be nice. Our best efforts to be nice fall short of the righteousness of God. And every one of us was born with a sin nature and deserve hell, deserve separation from God. But it says Jesus tasted death for every man. He stepped in as a man to take our punishment. He had to come as a man. Amen. Understand, God allowed bulls and goats to be sacrificed for, you know, thousands of years on behalf of man as a covering, but they couldn't take away the sin. Only a man had the ability to take away the sin, and a sinless man it had to be. So Jesus came as a man to shed sinless man's blood. Sinless man's blood. Thank you, Lord God. The second reason Jesus came to earth as a man. I mentioned this already. He came to empathize with us. You guys know what empathize means?
Yes.
To feel what we feel.
Empathy.
To know what we're experiencing. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 again. Maybe you're still there. Verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him, Jesus, behooved, don't you love it? It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What it's saying is everything you've been through, Jesus tasted of.
Yes.
He was rejected. Mm-hmm. He was ridiculed. Mm-hmm. He experienced one of the most torturous deaths ever imagined by man on our behalf. Mm-hmm. He's been through it.
Yes.
So, follow me now. We can throw our little pity parties. And yet Scripture says, what are you doing? You've not yet suffered of the shedding of blood. You're reflecting back on the cross. You've not gone through what Jesus went through. What are you doing with a pity party? He's given you eternal life, deliverance from hell, every promise of the Word, power, life, love, peace. And you're having a pity party? Oh, Jesus, I don't have a church building. I've served you faithfully all these years. I don't have a church building. Shut up! Jesus, in his earthly ministry, never had his own church.
He was the
church. Yeah. I don't think he had a building either.
He never had his own building. In fact, he spent so much time on the road, he had to sleep outside. He had a home in Capernaum. He did have a home. But he was on the road so much, he didn't get to spend much time there. He knows what we've been through. He's able to empathize with us. Look at chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest. Who's our high priest? Y'all took a minute on that one. You're still finding the place, right? We have not a high priest, Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, weaknesses, failings, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Everything you've gone through, it says Jesus experienced. Well, he had been through what I went through. No, he went through a whole lot worse. But I've got him taste of enough of humanity's wickedness to know what we've gone through, what we're going through. Yet he didn't sin, and it became our example. Don't sin. You know how one of the most predominant ways man sins when he's under those kind of attacks, when he's experiencing failings, his weaknesses, his challenges? One of those common ways he fails is what he says. Is with what he says. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I might as well eat worms. Oh, I just feel like nobody loves me. Shut up. The Bible says we're accepted in the beloved.
Yeah.
I'm not saying shut up. You guys saying it as a generic response. You understand? You're We're allowed to have pity parties. But you know what? People won't want to come. And you won't like the gifts you get. Because when you open up your mouth and say the wrong thing, it opens the door to wrong
things. Yes.
Manifestations.
Yes.
Wrong results.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
So in the midst of a feeling like you need a pity party, pick yourself up, put on some praise music, and rejoice.
Yes.
This too shall pass. Some of you, or probably most people here, in the age frame I am, some of you are younger. I've learned something. It's become a philosophy of life for me. This too shall pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're stuck in traffic. Tomorrow you won't be stuck in traffic. This too shall pass. The days really go quickly.
Yeah, they do.
You follow me?
Yeah.
You know, things aren't going right for your day. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And it lets you suck it up cupcake. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite sayings, right? Mm-hmm. It lets us tough it up when you realize it's just temporal.
Yeah.
Well, I'm mad. Well, tomorrow you won't be. Well, you're staying on it now. One of the things that used to make me mad, my wife will attest to it, is when my team lost ball games. It's my team because it's the one I choose to cheer for. Never played for them, but it was my team. I'd be mad. But you know, I can't really point to many games in the past my team lost. It passed. Why be mad at a ball game that in 2 years isn't going to matter?
Right.
Or whatever seems to get under your skin. Mm-hmm. Jesus came as a man to empathize with the challenges of humanity and the disappointments of that will be produced by people around you. John chapter 10. You still with me? Let's go to this and then we'll pause for next week. John chapter 10.
We have communion.
Oh, communion, yes. This will definitely be the last one. Verse 30. Jesus speaking. He says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. The third thing, the third reason I have written here that Jesus, the reason why he came as a man, was to show us the Father. As a man, to show us the Father. A representation of walking on earth as the Father. Look at John chapter 12. Verse 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I'm come as a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to show us God.
Yes.
Now think about it before Jesus. Think about it. What would man have had to imagine what God was like?
Just man. Image of man.
I mean, somebody, I heard somebody say nature.
Nature.
You mean where the lions are eating everything around them? Where people are killing each other? Nature's not a good example. But yet people point to it. Oh, God must be a mean God. What would we have had before Jesus to show us who the Father was, how he responded, what his heart was?
Love.
Very little. There were a few people got a revelation. God appeared to Moses. David had a revelation of it. Of the mercy of God, the goodness of God. He wrote about it. We have the Psalms showing us the heart of the Father.
The prophets.
Solomon showing us the wisdom of the Father. What did you say?
The prophets.
The prophets showing us something about God. But you, in the midst, you read the prophets, he's talking about, and I'm going to destroy this, I'm going to destroy that. We have God's a vengeful God. And even today, that's how people see God.
Yeah.
Because they don't see Jesus as the reflection of the Father. They see creation, just to say, not creation. The world is a reflection of the Father. They see harshness, hardness, meanness, judgment, failure. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we don't see Jesus destroying anything. Flipping a few money changers' tables over, right? Out of love for the kingdom and for the system of God. He walked with the love of God.
He did.
Reflected every step he took. There's nothing in the Old Testament, very little, to demonstrate God as a God of love. He'll show us as God of covenant, not a God of love. But Jesus came to reveal God as a God of love.
Yeah.
In fact, do a search on love. You won't find an Old Testament word that matches up to agape. Ken Colton preached for years God's hasid agape. Still chesed. He said that's a reflection of love in the Old Testament, but it's not the same as agape. Agape was manifest on earth and represented through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, we can read the Gospels and see who God really is. John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show me the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you hear me, you heard the Father. Jesus came as a man to show us the Father.
Amen.
I think it was Dr. Dobson I heard share this years ago. I mean, close to 40 years ago, this story. Could have been somebody else, but the story is valid anyway. There was a man that a hard freeze was coming on. I mean, below zero heart freeze. And he goes outside and all these quail or something are outside his barn freezing. And he thinks, if I can just get them in the barn, they'll be out of the wind. There's hay there. They can be safe and be protected. So he opened the barn doors and he tried to herd. He herd the quail into the barn and they wouldn't go. They're just scattering, fluttering off. They can't fly very far. It's so cold. He's trying to get them and he fails. He can't get them in. And he thought, if I could just come as a quail and lead them, maybe then they'd follow. If God had appeared any way other than a man and suffered what he did as a man, we wouldn't have received him.
It's true.
If he had shown up as, you know, in himself, whatever image he would take, probably wouldn't receive it. He came as one of us. Saying, me and you, me and you. And showed us what the Father is like. This is demonstrating to us the depths and levels of the love of our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
He's been what you've been through. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Father, I thank you in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife, none in lack. We receive every blessing of your kingdom manifested in our life, and we choose to walk in your fullness. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name.